We believe they are looking for very large scale, huge bulk tonnage operations. So it's why we're enthused, because we think we're in the right place. If we move forward with this exploration success, there's mines being built next door, which gives us a free carry through on all the infrastructure that's going in.
Jeremy Gillis, Sendero Resources, how are you, my friend?
I am magnificently well. Thank you to you and Steve for having me here today. There are not that many channels out there like yourselves who are providing real quality content by investors for investors.
Well, you are way too kind for us, but this is not about us. This is actually about you. We're very curious about you. The last time we spoke, we talked about how there was a great arbitrage opportunity out there. And it really looks like some of the listeners and viewers took note of that. I want to talk now about what's going on in Sendero and what's really moving the stock as far as you moving the project forward and possibly de-risking everything. Tell me about that.
Great question. I think when companies in the junior sector have a 95% chance of failure, the best thing that we can do as a company is try and de-risk that for investors. How is that de-risked? Jurisdictional risk, access to capital, and being able to move that project along. Because of that risk, there needs to be better than average returns. No one should invest in these companies unless they can go and get a 3-5x on their money. What I think we have is we tick all of the boxes. So whether that is jurisdictionally and Argentina getting better on a macro level or on a micro level, you talk about access to capital, that's the biggest risk these companies have. We tick that box. We have Peter Moroni, Eduardo Elstein, Pat DeCampo from Power One, real investors who understand this business, who know if we go and get this right, we have the potential for a billion-dollar company. You talk about to match that capital markets expertise, we also have it on a technical front. So we think that we have de-risked this, and that's, to your point, some of your listeners have seen that great opportunity, and that's why over the last week, people are paying the ask, not the bid, because they want to get into this story, because we think we have demonstrated thus far at least the ability to tick every box.
Okay, so let's talk about your ticking every box, but I want to know about a few other boxes, if you would. And we talked a little bit about this last time, but I want to reiterate it. Tell me about the project and what you have or what you think you have in the ground there and why it makes it so attractive.
Unlike most of the junior companies in the Vicuña area who came along after Filo kindly put out Hole 41 and their stock went from $3 to $33. Sendero was there before. It had put these claims together and we looked at the claims and there was geological merit then. So you start with that basis of information. On top of that, what do we have? We've got 211 square kilometers with a plethora of historic data that we can utilize. As we're putting together a new exploration plan, especially when you've got to pick the right place to go and put your 3-inch hole in 211 square kilometers, you need to go and get that right. We have this access to information that's going to help us narrow down how we go and get that right. And I think the last point would be that if you actually look at the last Sendero drilling, which underwhelmed the market, you're talking, they have 350 meters of 0.5 gram equivalent gold. Now, while it underwhelmed the market, it shows very broad structures of mineralization. Now, if one is trying to charm the market with high grade, that's one thing. But who is the ultimate buyer for this project? We believe they are looking for very large scale, huge bulk tonnage operations. So it's why we're enthused, because we think we're in the right place. If we move forward with this exploration success, there's mines being built next door, which gives us a free carry through on all the infrastructure that's going in. Now, when people are putting power lines in and roads, it monumentally changes the economics of our project. So we're delighted to be in this jurisdiction, in this vicinity, surrounded by giants who are developing their projects. And I think if I could just say one last thing, when you look at this, Lundin have sold mines, producing mines in Europe, to take that money and park it in this vicinity, because they see it. Their joint venture partner, BHP, who's one of the biggest base metal miners in the world, sees it. Again, maybe the market was looking at 1% of this or X, Y, and Z, but we think to get the best return as investors, and that's why we are here, we need to move this project along. And we are looking past that. And I think that's why we need that access to capital, because it took Lundin's 17 years to move NGEX from a $40 million company to, and Hole 41 that changed everything, to suddenly the billions of dollars company.
Yeah. Okay. So I'd like to push you on a couple of things here, or actually before I do that, let me share with all of my viewers and listeners. You want what you prefer both, but you want one of two things. You want grade or scale or both. Obviously you want both, but you said a key word. You have a large scale project, or what you think is a large scale project, correct?
We believe that the mineralization in this area is correct. I think on top of that, looking at the neighbors, NGEX, Jose Maria, and Filo was all one project, which grew, which got spun out over time. We're talking to some of the world's biggest miners. They're looking for multiple deposits on a piece of ground, or they're at least the opportunity for that. So there are not that in this day and age, in this world of risk, large troughs of the world are not accessible to these companies. They're not investment grade anymore. It's why we're seeing Barrick going back to Pakistan. We're seeing First Quantum having a problem in Panama. They are looking for large blocks of ground that they can move forward. Now, 211 square kilometers is district scale. So, and the rocks are correct. That's been demonstrated by the neighbors. So I hope that answers your question.
Because it does. And I'm interrupting you, but yes, it does. And I'm talking to my viewers and listeners here. Again, you really want to look, well, this is what I look for. I look for jurisdiction, and it doesn't mean it has to be in a great jurisdiction, just as long as I'm justifiably compensated for it. But if it is in a great jurisdiction and I'm justifiably compensated for it, all the better. And the second thing is I'm somewhat agnostic on this. I either want grade or scale. That's what I'm looking for. And obviously you want to have both, but I will take one over the other. In fact, I would say scale, over grade. And this is just me. This is not advice. The other thing here, Jeremy, and I want you to comment a little bit about this, is access to capital. Tell me about access to capital. Work that out a little bit more for me, because you're going to have to raise to move this project along, and I prefer you raise at a higher price, but how accessible, or how much money do you have, and how can you get it to move this project along? That's really the bottom line.
So I think we have the potential for both grade and scale because the mineralization of the area is showing.
Good answer.
I would kill for very high grade and very high scale.
Yep.
Because of the end user being somebody who's producing in Caserones, which is producing down the road at half a percent copper, I think it's the demonstrates what is actually doable in this area. You know, it's people are looking for multi-generational projects because those are the ones who are going to get developed first. It then comes down to your ability to execute. And while I know your comment is somewhat agnostic on that risk, to me, it comes down to your ability to execute in a jurisdiction that you are operating in. I've worked A, at big companies, and B, in Argentina. Our CEO, the same. Our chief technical advisor won a PDAC prize for discovering Kamoa, which is now the third biggest copper mine in the world, understands this as well. Our investors, led by Peter Moroney, who built Yamana, started off as a restructured Argentine story, has built mines and done exploration in Argentina. So it comes down to your ability to operate in the jurisdiction that you're in. There's fortunes been made by people coming along and fixing somebody else's problem or being able to operate in a jurisdiction. Our neighbors bought Fruta del Norte from Kinross for $200 million. Kinross paid $1.3 billion for that. Same mine, same rocks. Somebody has earned a fortune out of it. So I think we have ticked those boxes. In terms of, as you said, access to capital, which is the fundamentally crux of the problem here, we think we've fixed that. This restructuring that occurred of Sendero and the people who have come in, these people are not looking for 5X on their money. They build companies. They build mines. They have access to money. And more importantly, it's sticky money. Peter filed SEDI here. It's a strong message to the market that he's not a seller. And we have a plethora of that caliber of investors. So, and they know that even Lundin's took 17 years to go and get this right. But then, boy, were the returns there. So they understand the game. I think we have access to money, not just through them, not just through the quality of JV opportunity that we could go and unlock here. We also have mining companies who were already in the data room before. Now, we think that when they understand an improved geological model, it's going to make that access to capital far easier. In terms of that access to capital, Sendero went public at a $14 million valuation without a permit. Well, we're at a 10 with a permit, with a load of drill data. So we think, again, to use my comment from before, the arbitrage opportunity is still there. Fortunately, because we are a shareholder-led company, and these gentlemen, as investors, have a lot of skin in this game. Trust me, they're not going to want us to, they're going to want to raise that higher valuation because it's their capital that they are diluting. So to go and get us through, currently we just did a raise about $1.5 million, and we spend money very frugally. Our CEO is certainly not at the high end of what junior miners are paid for, and they certainly don't have 40 years of experience and worked at Kinross and Centauro. So we think that we have value for money. In terms of how do we access more money, we have some of the greatest mining financiers as investors and shareholders. So whether it's we use our warrants, whether we come up with some kind of creative financing, I don't think in May when these shares come due, or currently we will do a financing before we go and drill at the end of this year and early 2026.
Got it. So if I could just talk to my viewers and listeners about all of this, one of the things that makes it, Sendero attractive to me, and here's the deal. Jeremy doesn't know this, but I'm looking to accumulate Sendero in my fund. It's everything that we just talked about. Jeremy has not, and Sendero has not paid for this, just so everybody knows. They are not a current sponsor, and I'm not a shareholder yet. And I will more than likely become a shareholder after this drops, this interview drops, and it'll be an accumulation over time. What I love to see, one of the things, everything being equal that we just talked about, I love to see depressed prices, right? You buy low, you sell high. Then you have to ask yourself, why is this company, why is their stock price depressed? And if there was a restructuring or new change in leadership, management, whatever, that's typically a good thing, right? And so you want to get it right when that happens, right before it happens, or even right after it happens, just before the stock really starts to move. So I believe that is the case in Sendero. So that's why I see it for myself. This is not investment advice, but this is why I see it in my own fund as an attractive buy. So Jeremy, you didn't know I was going to say any of that, but that is the case and why I see it as attractive. Now, one thing that we can give the listeners, and we do before we close here, is there anything you can talk about that will be moving the stock? Any news that you see coming over the next 30 to 60 days that investors just need to be aware of that you can comment about?
Absolutely. We've laid out our plans to the market. We are going through all of that old data, which is literally scores of millions of dollars. And we're coming up with a new geological model. We will go and present that to companies and our investors. We're looking forward to PDAC, where we will be meeting with the very supportive government of La Rioja, who, as some of you listeners have seen, there is an option agreement on some ground, and they see this as some overhang. The government has been very supportive of Sendero. It's another checkbox of what we have. So we think that that fixes. We have made inroads on some of the historic debt to clean up the balance sheet. And again, since we started this, not this interview, but since this restructuring of Sendero, copper's gone from $4 to $4.60. Our neighbors keep on pulling in incredible grades. So we think the future is very bright. We think that the opportunity is there. And we're very excited. At the moment, we're coming into Argentine winter. The team has just been at site. We have a load of new data. We've looked at all the historic core. We're putting that compilation together to make sure that when we go and drill, we go and get the best result for this shareholder-led company. So we think that as people start to look at our peer group and see the gaps, I'm certainly not suggesting, I can't give investment advice, that anybody should buy our stock. But use those green tick boxes that you mentioned, Andy, to compare them to other people. Because if your investors or your viewers are not seeing those, then I'm not saying buy us, but use us as the bellwether before investing in other companies. Because the reason that we don't have to go out there and promote this is A, we don't want to spend the money. And B, we know what we've got. So if you're holding a good poker hand, you don't go all in on the first round.
Yeah. So Jeremy, another thing, go ahead. Real quick, Steve.
So Jeremy, you mentioned checking the boxes, compare your company, compare Sendero Resources to other companies. You know, what boxes are you talked about? Jurisdiction, access to capital, move the project along, the ability to do that. Like, how do listeners look for, you know, parse, what are they looking for? What makes
the 1700 junior mining companies, if you look at our investors of Peter Moroni, Pat DiCapo, and Eduardo Elstein, you start there. First of all, this is the first thing that Peter and Pat have ever done. And then we have other investors of that quality. So you follow people, because people, you can change poor management team. You can't change bad rocks. So for me, if you look at the people first, have they done this before? It's very easy for junior mining companies to sell to a major. Have they ever done it before? Have they ever built a mine before? Have they ever had exploration success? Every box that I'm mentioning, we have, is the historic data. That last drilling by Sendero, I would really urge your viewers, while it didn't charm the market, it demonstrates it all over this property, mineralization. That is a huge green flag for that. So the access to capital, the super tight cap structure, as I've mentioned before, there's no stock out there. That accumulation game, there is no cheap stock. You know, and we have some of the best people providing free advice to go and create value for their shareholdings. So I think you add all of these things together. And last but not least, our technical team that is exceptional. They have worked at mines. They've worked at exploration projects. They know what mining companies want to go and buy. It's very easy for people to say, we're going to go and sell our project. They have no idea what the buyer wants. So I think whichever way one slices and dices it, we check all of those boxes.
Excellent. Jeremy, we're going to have to go as you are. You're very busy. If people want to know more about you, how do they go about doing that? And I'll put all of this in the show notes below.
I'm available anytime. Jeremy@senderoresources.com. Please reach out. Any questions? Again, Andy and Steve, thank you so much. Your content is impeccable, whether it's on a macro basis. I learn something new every time I watch one of your videos.
You're very kind. All right, we'll have you on again soon. Thank you so much, Jeremy.
Thanks, Jeremy.
Thank you.